Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
I do too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald DeThay, and today's date is November 13th, 2019. Ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very, very busy out here. I don't have to tell you what we are coming to you over the World Wide Web, over the platform of Blog Talk Radio from your nation's, right outside of your nation's capital in beautiful Tacoma Park, Maryland. We are also streaming over Facebook, Link, and Twitter. Well, right here in the DMV market area, the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area, we kindly refer to it as the DMV for those outside of this market region. Well, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald DeThay. And you know, if you've been joining us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show. If it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation and design companies. To address the effects of high energy costs that are historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the underemployment and unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community locally and nationally through radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, if anyone wanted to join me, you can join me by calling 646-668-2948. Now, this show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. It's also brought to you every week by the Scotton Communications Network, specializing in following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production online and traditional, newspaper production online and traditional, speech writing, editing and publishing, and speaker bureau management. And for contact information, that's Scotton Communications with an S, network.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a mouthful, but that's Scotton Communications, network.com. Now, we have a very, very exciting show for you today. We have some guests scheduled a little longer down in our programming for you, but to start off the beginning of our show. Our show is entitled today, Renewable Energy Workforce Development, Present and Future in the State of Maryland. Now, I've had the privilege of speaking with Mr. James Rezposky, who is the Assistant Secretary for the Division of Workforce Development and Planning and Adult Learning for the State of Maryland. I had the opportunity, I met this gentleman at the Maryland Clean Energy Summit, which was held here in at the University of Maryland in College Park about a week ago, put on by the Maryland Clean Energy Center. Now, they had a specific workshop that broke off in that afternoon on workforce development, which I attended. And this show is sort of a follow-up or dedication, and it's being dedicated and targeted around workforce development here and what's going on in the state of Maryland as we speak. Now, there were some very, very important things that were brought out in my conversation with this gentleman on yesterday. He indicated that the state of Maryland had 24 counties, and they had workforce development programs implemented in, I think, 13 of the 24 counties. Now, you can go online and you can go to the information at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. You can click on news and events and you'll scroll down and you'll see renewable energy workforce development present and future in the state of Maryland. Now, your source for Maryland workforce and labor market data, the mission of the OPI mission is to collect, analyze, and produce labor market and workforce development information as a service to businesses, job seekers, student workforce, and economic development programs and their communities of service providers in Maryland. Our primary function is to make workforce and economic data and analysis easily accessible for informed decisions for individuals' choices to workforce and economic policy direction. You'll find this information on the website for the Department of Labor Licensing and Regulations in under the Division of Workforce Development and Adult Learning. This information is on workforce development. You can put their web address in, and this information would definitely pop up. You can locate that by logging on to www.dllr.maryland.gov. Once again, that web address is dllr.maryland.gov. Now, under your data mission, guiding principles, partner with workforce and economic development community. Develop and deploy information solutions, tools, and systems of workforce and economic development to the community. Provide products, services that are customer and demand driven. Be recognized as an important and reliable source of information solutions that support economic workforce development goals and outcomes. Wait a minute. Red light. Well, why isn't any data available on the renewable energy industry in the state of Maryland? Now, there's links when you click on the growth indicator and look at it down, you'll see all of these different divisions of employment, education, labor, you name it, is there. But renewable energy is not one of those industries. Solar and wind is not one of those, and they don't have the data and the information there. What is real troubling to me, as we look at this information and we look at the funding of $110 million, 80% of that money is federal dollars. Approximately, based on the information I was able to obtain in my conversation yesterday with the system secretary, Mr. Raposki, he indicated that Maryland has $3 million in workforce funding in the pipeline that has not been spent for this fiscal year. But for 2020, based on the renewable portfolio standard law, 50% law, which was just passed in the state of Maryland, that it would be $8 million in the pipeline for workforce development training for the entire state. Now, when I contacted my alma mater at Morgan State University and spoken with a Mrs. Smith in the Center for Career Development at Morgan, I've contacted Bowie State University. I have not contacted Coppin or UMES, which I will be doing. But I contacted the schools wanting to know how many companies doing business in the DMV market area, and you can go to the jobs by to locate these jobs by going to Indeed, putting solar energy in the keywords and putting your zip code in, and you will see a litany of job opportunities that are available. Let me read a few of these positions. Environmental Policy Analyst, Miracle Systems, LLC, Washington, D.C. Direct Sales Consultant, Trinity Solar, Hanover, Maryland. Solar Sales Consultants, Commercial and Agricultural Markets, Paradise Energy Solutions, Ellicott City, Maryland. Solar Sales Professionals, Commercial and Ag Markets. Energy Advisors, Energy and Security Group, Washington, D.C. EER Science, Technology, and Policy Opportunity, Solar Energy, Washington, D.C. Energy Sales Representative, Strategy Call Center Solutions, Ruston, Virginia. Field Service Technician, Solar, Cypress Creek Renewables, Washington, D.C. Service Technicians, Tesla, Rockville, Maryland. Clean Energy Experts, Newark Associates, Washington, D.C. Customer Experience Associates, Arcola Power, Washington, D.C. Solar Foreman, Venteen Solar, Beltsville, Maryland. Solar PV Installer, Craft Instructor, Power 52 Foundation. Now, I am supposed to have as a guest, a little later on in this show, I will have the privilege of having several guests that will be on our show today, will be speaking with Mr. Elijah Perry, who is with Grid Alternatives. He's over he's their development manager. We'll be talking about workforce development in terms of his role with Grid Alternatives. What does it comprise of? How long is these programs? How are they certified? We'll be getting how many African Americans in the DMV market area have been employed with them. And we do have some other questions for them that we have already passed on to them that we will be looking forward to get a response from them in our interview with him. Then we are looking to have also today Mr. Eli Allen, Director of the Center for Sustainability Careers with CivicWorks, later on today in this show. The reason why I put these things in context is that when I was speaking with Mr. Resnick, he expressed that there were a lot of positions in the renewable energy industry, and it's one of the fastest growing industries in the U.S., but there's no statistical data under the Employment Services Division of this workforce development component in Maryland giving you this information. There is a major problem with the lack of diversity and hiring in this market area. We have Howard University, we have University of District of Columbia, we have Catholic University, we have the University of Maryland, AUGW, we have Bowie State, we've got Coppin State, Morgan State in Baltimore, BCU. Well, with the community colleges, Prince George's Community College, when we look at all of the institutions and all of the thousands of young, intelligent African-American and Hispanic youth in this marketplace, I'm trying to understand it's even specifically more in the African-American community why the hiring and diversity numbers are no better than what they are with these companies. So I reached out to the marketing components that advertise these work positions online through Indeed and some of the marketing companies and asked them if they could be in contact with these companies and if I could get someone from their HR or their marketing divisions to come on this platform and talk about these job opportunities that are they are advertising here in the DMV market area, but they don't seem to be on any of the HBCU campuses or even the historically white college campuses recruiting African-American qualified candidates for these positions. And if they don't do that, then someone's supposed to come to them through Indeed. Well, how and what do you need? What experiences or what should be the track that I need to get on while I'm still thinking about going to a four-year college or a junior college? Well, we need to be exposing our young folks to this in high school. Since these positions are there and everybody's saying we got a lot of positions and we don't have people because they don't have the certifications, well, that's what workforce development training is about. So I hope I brought this full circle as to why we are drilling down on this issue of workforce development, because I can read a whole bunch of data, but you can go to my website at positivechangepc.com, at positivechangepc.com, and you can get that information for yourself. We hope to be joined very, very shortly with our first guest that will be coming on, and we'll be talking about workforce development and a number of the issues and questions that I had posed forward concerning that, these issues and some of the problems that come along with providing these workforce development programs in terms of just the human element of how and what they need to be able to make sure they can get a young person to come to these to this job and to this training. So it's not just It's not as simple as what we're saying. It's not as simple as all that. But we did, in fact, put together for our topic of discussion, we did ask the following questions, looking at the fact that the Solar Foundation receives our dollars and is responsible for keeping up with the employment data in 2015, it indicated, and the article went on to say, Black American numbers don't lie. African Americans only make up 6.6% of workforce in the solar jobs in 2015 in the United States counties and metro areas. Now, this particular article broke down the percentages. It gave you that information, and it went on to give you the numbers, which we will look at these numbers right now. And these numbers have changed, of course. It looked at the national data, it was 208,859 solar jobs. It's over 300,000 positions. They're projecting now 600,000 positions in this area by 2021. Installation jobs was 119,931 jobs. Installation jobs. This was 30% manufacturing jobs, 30,000 manufacturing jobs, 30,282 manufacturing jobs, 24,300 sales and distribution jobs, 22,400 projected development jobs, 11,848 other jobs, 57.4% installation for installers, 14.5% manufacturing, 11.7% sales and distribution, 10.7% project development, 5.7% other positions, total solar companies. Now, this is very interesting because it indicated then it was 9,929. Out of that number, we don't have any more than 40 African-American companies out of this 9,929 companies doing business in the United States. It says 2,095 solar patents, which was filed with the Office of Patents between year 2010 and 2015. 511,791 homes powered by solar, and that was only solar 10.51 cents kilowatt average electricity price. These are national numbers, ladies and gentlemen. When you looked at the percentage for women, it was 23.8% women. It was Latino, Hispanics, 11.3%. Asian and Pacific Islanders was 8.6%. Veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces, it said 8.1%. And African Americans, we bought at the bottom of the barrel at 6.6%. This data has been updated. It was updated in 2017 and in 2019. And we know that it's supposed to be around 7% African Americans in this industry, which is totally, totally not acceptable in terms of what we are bringing to the table in terms of our marketing demographics, where we're strategically located, specifically here in the PJM market area, which is a deregulated market with renewable portfolio standard legislation being passed, 100% just passed in the district, 50% has been passed in the state of Maryland. And when we begin to look at the amount of money that's going to be bought into $8 million, which will be available after July of next year when the budgets of next year kick in for workforce development training. There has to be a way for us to connect the dots between why these companies are not communicating to the African-American community, why this thing is totally digital, online, and if you don't plug in or don't know how to plug in digitally, you don't even know that this exists. We have to speak truth to power about this issue. This is totally unacceptable. Our political leaders need to weigh in when they are asked to vote on these things legislatively, because we need to demand our fair share of workforce development dollars to be targeted to our organizations that have boots on the ground with workforce development training, that are working with specifically the African American community, because it seems like we've been here the longest and put more in, and always are statistically, alas, when it comes to getting the resources that are deserving to our young people. And if our institutions aren't plugged in, we aren't plugged in. That's real talk, folks. Now, you can join me at 646-668-2948. If you want to join this conversation, 646-668-2948. You can join us by calling that number and pressing 1 on the phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, we are looking for our first guest to join us, and we are not aware of how it's been communicated for this gentleman to join me. Now, I received a call during the show, but the call-in number is 646-668-2948. It is very, very disturbing to me that you always have to follow up and call and call and call again to make sure that you're communicating with people after you've sent emails in, you place calls in, but nobody follows up a lot of times because everybody's so busy. So I'm going to take a pause for the calls, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It is now 11:29, and we are hoping that we will be joined by Mr. Elijah Perry from Grid Alternatives. He's the development director. Now, I did receive a call after I'm on the air, and I'm not able to place that call unless we take interrupt our show to call this individual to get him back in line. But that call-in number is 646-668-2948. That is the call-in number. Please press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. As we were saying, there are a number of issues around this workforce development program in Maryland, and we're going to go ahead and look at they talked about the guiding principles. They give you a monthly labor review from September. Funding information is there. So when you click on that, it talks about grant product, arbitration, intellectual property rights, workforce development information, and performance. So you can go to the website and under the Maryland Department of Labor, you'll be able to go to www.dllr.maryland.gov, and you'll be able to find these under quick links on their website, and you'll be able to find workforce products was funded by grants awarded from the U.S. Department of Labor and Training Administration. The products was created by a recipient and does not necessarily reflect the official position of the U.S. Department of Labor. The Department of Labor makes no guarantees, warranties, or assurances of any kind expressed or implied with respect to such information, including any information on linked sites, including but not limited to accuracy of information or its competence, timeliness, usefulness, accuracy, continued availability, or ownership. This product is a copyrighted by the institution that created the internal use by the organization and personal use by the individual non-commercial purposes is permissible. Now, all of this data, this is a disclaimer, but all this information and these links are there, and you'll be able to look under the left-hand corner. You'll see monthly labor review, employment situation, area unemployment statistics, current employment statistics, press release schedule, area, explore growth industry tool. This was the tool that I was talking about. Once you click on that particular link, it takes you into that area, and it talks about the growth industry tool. You click on that, then it breaks down the different industries that are mentioned, and it gives you the counties. It gives you the area title and the number of employees that would be working in a specific market area, and it breaks down all of your counties and Baltimore City. So this does not provide anything on renewable energy. And that is just the point that I've made in my show. When it comes to renewable energy, solar, wind, it does not provide you with any data on the employment data on that. I don't know if it's providing any data on the electric infrastructure industry, because they need a ton of electricians right now in the state of Maryland for that. And these are all jobs that require certifications, which are offered by the North American Board of Electric Practitioners through workforce development training programs, which are online through Capelin University out of El Paso, Texas, which is owned by the Washington Post. Now, you can pull this data down, and you'll be able to online, and you can research it for yourself. As we say, don't take my word for it. You know, do your own follow-up. But we are very, very interested and knowing what happened with our guest today, Mr. Elijah Perry from Grid Alternatives. So what we're going to do, we're going to do something a little different because it is now 11:34. We're going to, as we say, take a pause for the cause, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
I hear the song worth singing. I do too. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, welcome back to Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This is your host, Ronald Bethay, and I apologize. We had to try to confirm our guests, and our guest has canceled out on us without giving us any notice until it was time for the show to begin. So we will continue with our show today, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of the major, major reasons why this industry is very, very dysfunctional in terms of priorities, in terms of people making commitments to speak to the African American community, but something that always comes up. But all we can do is provide people with the opportunity to come on to speak to our audience. We can't make anyone do that. So the guest, Mr. Elijah Perry from Grid Alternatives, will not be joining us. I have had some issues with Grid in the past in providing them with invitations to this show, but we did an interview, our very, very first interview 3 years ago was with a young lady who was with Grid at that time. She was no longer with Grid. But one of the things that we understand is that if you got boots on the ground and you're in the African-American community and you're receiving the grant money that, in fact, is being targeted for workforce development training of young African-Americans in the African-American community that will be working, providing these services through companies that will hire them after they obtain the services. Well, people need to know that you exist. So we're going to leave it at that. We are hoping that we will be joined by Mr. Eli Allen at a little later on in the show, a few more minutes in the show, but we dedicated this specific show around workforce development this morning. Now, as I was indicating to you, we had sent a list of questions to Mr. Perry, and I want to go ahead and read those questions. In May, the Solar Industries Trade Association launched a diversity challenge initiative, and my question was to Grid Alternatives, have they joined this initiative? Because they were asking companies to voluntarily hire folks of African descent who've been trained in this industry. And I sort of feel if our dollars are going to help fund and support these industries, that we shouldn't have to just worry about somebody volunteering. There should be some carve-out numbers provided by our legislators that these companies have to meet. And people want to holler about, well, quotas, that's not fair. Well, I don't think it's fair for 9 out of 9,929 companies only have 40 African-American companies. Then somebody will say, well, you have to get in it. You got to get in the game. Well, I have talked with everybody who's in the game. This is not a very easy industry to get in the game, and you got to start somewhere. And see, the sad part about this thing is if you go to our website, you'll see a documentary called the Sunshine Identity Initiative. It will be in our video gallery. And you'll see President Obama speaking about the renewable energy industry. You'll hear people from his administration talking about the growth in this industry. And we're here now. He's gone. He's out of office. I guess with 45, some folks wish he was still in office. But this is the drama that we get around this workforce development piece. And when you need the people who got boots on the ground to come on and talk about the issues that they face every day in providing these services to our young people, even though they are receiving the funding from our agencies to provide them, if they don't choose to come on this platform, well, I don't know about else shows that that's even providing the platform. Now, not being redundant, how many communications and marketing managers are African-American does Grid Alternatives have in your offices nationally? How many African-American employees does Grid employ nationally, and how many do you have in your D.C. office? How many African-Americans have trained through your workforce development program in D.C. and nationally? These are the questions I had for Mr. Perry. Why do you feel D.C., United Neighbors lost an urgent community outreach grant from DOEE because D.C. Sun could not sign up enough residents because DOEE did not spend any real money to advertise with black-owned media in the Washington, D.C. market area, and no real money was budgeted for roof repair for low- and moderate-income residents in D.C. Do you feel regulations and public policy in regulated markets are affecting jobs for African-American youth in those market areas? These were the questions that I was posing for Mr. Perry. But since he's not there, maybe you would like to weigh in on this subject matter, and you can do that by dialing 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because what we like to do, we like to give people an opportunity. So don't call me 5 minutes before the show and tell me he Cancer, well, maybe you need to be doing the talking, because somebody could have come on from grid and dealt with these questions. But as I said, ladies and gentlemen, we can only give people an opportunity to do those things. We can't make anybody do anything. And that's the beauty in the whole process. But when you put these flowery, they're talking loud and saying nothing, just like Brother James Brown used to say, when you put all this flowery information out on these websites and all with all this verbiage and words, and you read that, and when you get to doing your homework and you get to drilling down on these questions, and you need to talk to people who got boots on the ground, ain't nobody available to talk to. So we're going to hope that Mr. Eli Allen from Civic Works will join us, and we'll be able to get someone who's in the field that's got boots on the ground, that has a program, and being funded with your tax dollars to do workforce development training in the state of Maryland. Hopefully we'll be able to get someone on the airways of Solar Now in the future with its economic impact on Black America. Because as we've indicated, the positions are definitely out here. So as we said, we're going to take another pause for the cause, and we'll be right back on Solar Now.
Here's a song worth singing.
I do too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Dialing 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Ladies and gentlemen, these are some very, very serious times that we're living in today. And time is money. And one of the things that I've come to realize is that in the black community, our time, our energy, our efforts in putting together platforms for the dissemination of information to the African community is not taken serious. And the reason why it's not taken serious because folks think that no one hears what you're doing and nobody's paying attention to what you're doing. But the African-American community may not be tuned in, but I guarantee you that there are other people out there who don't need the African-American community any good are tuned in. And they don't want to see any change in a lot of these industries that we, in fact, helped subsidize to our own demise. So when you begin to look at the overall picture, if Dr. Francis Wilson and if Dr. Neely Fuller, are wrong in their hypothesis, in their positions on racism and white supremacy in this country, why is it that when you reach out to these individuals who, in fact, receive the funding, receive the dollars, they never have time to speak to the black community? They go and give conferences all over the country, and they talk about us, and they never talk to us. They never know what we want or what we don't want, and it really doesn't matter what we want because they're going to do what they want to do and tell us what they want to tell us, and we're supposed to accept that or else. So I strongly suggest to people to keep your money in your pocket this November the 27th and December the 25th and the New Year's days. Because if people are concerned about not what you want, but what you need, our young people need these opportunities because these are growth industries. There's no question about that. It's no question this is the future, renewable energy industry, and these related jobs inside of these industries, which I read a whole list of those different opportunities earlier in this show. If you're not trained or have the certifications or have the experience, I know what track to get on this, to get prepared for this, you'll never get the opportunity. So if the people who have the boots on the ground don't come on shows like this and talk to the people to inform them what and how to prepare their young folk to come into this arena, to approach this arena, how do you get into the arena? You don't. It's simple as that. In about 7 more minutes, we're hoping we'll be joined by Mr. Eli Allen, the director of the Center for Sustainable Careers with the group called Civic Works. Hopefully, he'll be able to shed some light on what's going on the ground with workforce development programs here in the state of Maryland. And we're looking forward to that opportunity to engage him on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. we had programmed it, an additional 30 minutes to this show today, and we are going to hopefully be joined by Mr. Allen, and we will go forward in moving with our interview. But if not, we're going to open up the floor to our callers at 646-668-2948, at 646-668-2948, and you can call in and you can share what you've heard over the airways of this show, and whether you agree or disagree or whatever the position you may have. That's why we're calling it Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, because it's definitely having an impact, because folks are getting these compliance fees on their water, gas, and electric bills in the District of Columbia, and they're cutting them off. Same process, same issues I was talking about. Nobody, as I spoke to Brother Carl Nelson, he said, well, you know, Black folk really ain't buying that energy. Oh, they're buying it. It's 24 degrees today, y'all, and you're going to turn the furnace on if you ain't got no sunshine up there with some panels to help cut down on that energy cost. It'll be coming in the mail. Don't even worry about it. You will be buying it. It's no question about it. This is peak time for the utility companies when that mercury drops down to the 20s. So everybody wants to make like it's not, this is not a reality. Oh, this is a reality. Energy, everything starts with energy, everything ends with energy. And it's no question, as little boy said, it is no question about that. So as we've indicated, we hope to be joined by Mr. Eli Allen with the Center for Sustainability and Careers from CivicWorks very, very shortly here on the platform. And as we're going to take the time to let people know how this gets taken care of. See, this gets brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC. And the Positive Change LLC serves as a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation and design companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects, to bring down the unemployment of our young African-Americans locally and nationally, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It's also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. Also, it's brought to you by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing, and speaker publishing, and Speaker Bureau Management. And for contact information, that's ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. That's ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. Now that we've let people know how this gets to them, we are pleased to be joined by Mr. Eli Allen from CivicWorks. Good afternoon, Mr. Allen.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm blessed to have you on this platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America, because I was just sharing with our listening audience that I had the privilege of speaking to Mr. James Resnick, Assistant Secretary for Workforce Development and Adult Planning, on yesterday, and he shared with me the fact that the state of Maryland, through the legislative body that in Annapolis that had just passed the 50% renewable portfolio standard law last year for the state of Maryland, that there would be $8 million more for funding for workforce development training in that specific budget. He also shared with me that it was approximately $3 million that they still had currently in its workforce development budget. This was, of course, for the entire state. And he spoke that the state receives about $110 million and for workforce development training, and about 80% of that was federal. Now, I know that your organization, CivicWorks, does an outstanding job in what you do, but could you give us a little about your background and a little about CivicWorks and what brought you into this arena, which there is a tremendous need for the services that your organization is providing, because there seems to be a total disconnect between the solar industry, companies and providers of services in the marketplace, and connecting with our local colleges and universities in terms of recruiting on campuses to bring these job positions to the forefront, because I just did an entire segment on the which we do every week, on the number of renewable energy opportunities and careers in the DMV market area in the private and public sector by going to Indeed, putting solar energy in their keywords in the search box and your zip code, and all these positions pop up. And as Mr. Resnick shared with me yesterday, there were a tremendous number of positions, but when I began to bring up the issue surrounding, well, if they need certifications, why isn't it being more funding being targeted for those organizations that have boots on the ground? In other words, my position is, they need to put funding for your organizations and organizations like Power 52 on the foundation on steroids. Could you address this issue, please?
Yeah. Thank you, and thank you for the kind of introduction and sharing by what Maryland is doing. I agree. We do the work we do, and I do the work that I do in part of just the stark need to get more people from Baltimore City, from other cities across the state and the country, from historically marginalized communities of color, into these high paying career positions. We see that there are stark inequities in the solar industry. I don't have the statistic in front of me, but I know that the industry as a whole is predominantly white and doesn't reflect the diversity of our city, our state. And that's also true throughout much of the construction industry. We find that most of the, you did a kind of looking at the different demographic analyses, that most of the industries that pay good wages and have good advancement opportunities are generally more predominantly white in our economy, and the sectors that have lower wages are predominantly filled by people of color. So we want to be part of the solution to address those inequities. And a good starting point are these growing jobs in the clean energy sector. So we think it's a multiple pronged approach. It's first a recruitment issue, and we hope to address that in partnership with the solar companies. And so the more that we can create this training pathway to careers in solar, as well as in energy efficiency, other related sectors, and help companies, companies already are struggling to fill their open positions, but they're not looking much beyond their kind of immediate network of people that they know to fill those positions. So the more that we can create these pathways and help them recruit from the untapped talent that we have in our communities, I think it's going to be better for the companies. They'll have a more talented workforce, a more diverse workforce, and then it'll create more opportunities. So it means scaling up programs like ours, expanding the funding, and it's also helping the companies themselves do what they do differently. So we have this kind of model where, part one is skill building for everyone that we train. So it's, all the core skills around roofing, electrical, putting together the solar system, all of the job readiness expectations that an employer has, and then working with the employer too. We try to create partnership agreements with our kind of top tier employer partners, where they also agree to start to change how they do business as well. And I can go into more detail to make sure that they're creating an inclusive work environment for people that they're hiring.
Mr. Allen, I don't want to cut you off, but I'm on the website for our state. Okay, I'm a Prince George's County resident. And I pay taxes like everybody else. I'm looking at www.llr.maryland.gov. Maryland's Growth Industry Tool, Workforce Information and Performance. The Growth Industry Tool, known as GIT for short, is a tool that can be used to analyze quarterly census and employment and wages. The data for Maryland, this tool can be used to examine employment growth, employment concentration, and much more. GTI automatic opens on the statewide map. Okay. I'm reading that to say this. This map gives you the quick links when you go to the website: monthly labor review, employment situation, local area unemployment statistics, current employment statistics. When you click on growth industry, and we both can agree that renewable energy is a growth industry, and it has grown at 25% since Barack Hussein Obama administration came to power. And this is shared, bared out in the video on my website called the Sunshine Identity Initiative, where the former Secretary of the Department of Energy came on and President Obama himself talking about the Sunshine Identity Initiative, which was the biggest thing as his administration did. It was not the Affordable Care Act. But when I look at this Maryland growth industry, they don't even mention the renewable energy industry in the state of Maryland. It has no statistical data on the growth, how many jobs, nothing. It has all the other careers and fields. So I hear what you up against, but is anybody paying any attention to this issue? Because what you're saying is what you are experienced with, because you got boots on the ground. You train these young people every day. But the state of Maryland does not even provide any statistical data on this. So how do our young people get to their local city councils and legislators? They're all up in arms around climate change, but this is the solution to the problem. They are the solution to this problem, but we got to get them trained.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we spend a lot of time, and you know, it's a growing policy priority, making sure that we're transitioning to clean sources of energy. And I know in Annapolis, the state assembly spends, last year they passed the Clean Jobs Act, and they're putting a lot of time and funding into this. But it would be good to have some more statistical kind of government analysis of the jobs and to have those statistics available for us.
I mean, they got the format here, but they don't even include renewable energy. And I'm saying, well, how can this be possible with the electric vehicle infrastructure, which is a part of our green infrastructure, with the needs of hundreds, if not thousands, of trained folks to do the wiring for commercial and residential residents in the state? You can't sell electric vehicles if you don't have charging infrastructure.
Yeah.
I've called Morgan State, the Center for Employment Development. I've contacted Bowie State. I'll be contacting Toppin, and I'll be contacting UMES at close business today, because I wanted to make sure I got that done before I came on the airways. But I have spoken to folks at Morgan. They've indicated to me nobody has come from the industry talking about any of these positions to any of their students. Now, that happens to be my alma mater also. So it's sort of personal with me. Is this thing, as I explained to folks, sometimes you have to put a face on things before people understand why you have a passion about something. I have had a niece, her name was Audra McLeod. She recently passed from asthma. She had an asthma attack. She was a graduating senior from Bowie State University School of Communication. Outstanding young lady. She had an asthma attack at her graduation party, and it was time for her to go. And she had asthma all her life. But what I'm saying to our people is our communities of color are disproportionately affected by asthma, heart disease, and our health because of these carcinogens in this dirty air. And this is not me making it up. This has been researched. So how do we deal with the issue? Well, the issue, if we're going to resolve the issue, it has to come because we do what we have to do to clean the air. Well, the process of it's not going to happen by osmosis. Our young people have to be trained for these positions through workforce development training programs in order to help this renewable energy revolution. This is a whole new movement.
Yeah.
This is a whole new movement. So sometimes you got to put a human face on things so people can understand why you do what you do. Because believe me, the work that you're doing, sir, is more important than, and I'm glad the Ravens beat New England, and I'm glad to see the young brother go up and down the football field like a magician. But what you're doing is more important than that. Why isn't this a conversation, a piece that we're having, sir, outside of this platform?
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, that, and it's, you know, it's about real life impact of cleaner air, removing contamination from our communities, creating these career opportunities. It touches everyone. The dirty fossil fuel industry disproportionately impacts communities of color. And so the transition is important.
Well, Mr. Allen, let me ask you this question, because I'm giving out the statistic to our listening audience. Before you came on the air, I talked about the 2015 statistical data. It showed it was 23.8% women. It was 8.1% Hispanics. It was 8.6% Asian Pacific Islanders. It was veterans was 8.1%, and then African American community, based on statistical data put out by the Solar Foundation in their annual report, it was about 360,000 jobs. Now they're projecting growth of almost 600,000 jobs in this industry. Could you share with our listening audience what it costs you to train one youth, and what are some of the other support services that you need in order to see one of our young people through one of your training programs?
Sure. So it costs us about $10,000 for every person that we train, and that includes the full length. It's about 3 months of training. That includes the classroom-based instruction, hands-on learning in a building science kind of construction lab we have, and then 2 months of paid on-the-job training that we provide, completing real solar projects, working with customers before someone moves into a permanent position. In addition to that, we recognize that all of the systemic issues and barriers that people of color face in our community, and the additional work we need to do, how people navigate and address those systemic issues. So it's everything from
homelessness,
helping everyone get a driver's license. We know that people may not have had the opportunity to get a permit, may have needed to get to work and had a fine or fee that led to a suspended or revoked license. So we help everyone navigate the court system, work with MVA, get a valid license by graduation, help people purchase vehicles. We'll contribute up to $1,000 from Civic Works to help people purchase vehicles, because we know that almost every single solar company that we work with is located outside of Baltimore City, can't get there by bus, and so people need cars to get these jobs.
Well, sir,
we make sure
I'm glad
have that. Have
I'm glad that you are out there and you are a blessing to our community, because what you're saying, you're talking about things that's changing our young people's lives, because you just knocked it out of the park. Most of these positions are not going to be inside Baltimore. They're going to be out in the counties. And as you said, there's no way to get there by bus. And these young people got to get there. They got to be on time. And it's no easy job when you got maybe a young parent and you got to deal with everything you got to deal with, and you got to be at work at 7:30 in the morning. You got to get way out in the county somewhere. And if you don't have a car, it's not possible. So looking at what y'all are doing in terms of helping these young people navigate and get through the process of getting their driver's licenses and getting things squared up by the time they get their certification so they can hit the ground running, I mean, that's a holistic approach. And that's why I wanted you to come on the air of this show, Solar Now, in the future with its economic impact on Black America, and share this information, because this is definitely having an impact on our community. And I want to thank you for what you're doing with that. Now, what are some of the other issues that you feel that are primarily that you run into on a consistent basis that y'all have to address with getting these young folks through these programs other than transportation?
Yeah, transportation's big. I'd say housing as well. We work on strategies to make sure people have stable housing, aren't worried where they're going to sleep tomorrow night. Because you gotta make sure like all those other things that could disrupt, disrupt your life. Like we've got on a solid foundation before, because we know that a lot. Like you know, we've got kind of think of it as our 3 months of training. That's our runway to figure everything out, because we know the employers are not going to be so accommodating. Where if you miss a couple of days, you know, your first couple of weeks, they might say, please don't come back the next day. We want to make sure people feel really confident. They got everything they need to meet those employer expectations. So it's everything from housing. We work on people with us getting health insurance, getting taking care of medical needs, getting make sure they got a doctor. Sometimes someone would like to sign for mental health services. They got to make those connections. Other things include working through child support obligations. Sometimes the Office of Child Support will have suspended someone's driver's license too because they didn't have an ability to pay the child support obligations. We'll work with that office, get it reinstated, try to see if we can help right size those obligations if they're out of proportion to what someone's earning. Get expungement services are also important. We've got over the years, the state has passed a number of expungement bills that expanded what can be expunged. So we bring in a legal services partner who works with every participant to file those expungement petitions, as well as any other civil legal matters that could be assistance with each of the participants. So, and then I'd even say that beyond graduation, we know that our work doesn't stop. Our graduates' work doesn't stop. Our life challenges don't stop. So we make sure to stay in touch.
Mr. Allen, I gotta ask this question. This question. Now, I'm looking at this holistic approach that your organization has put together, and it's definitely needed. Now, outside of Maryland, how many other jurisdictions around the country are you located in? Is this particular model, have you been able to get this implemented outside of Baltimore City, or is this just for where you just targeted in Baltimore? Because we got 24 counties in the state. So how many counties are you in the state of Maryland?
That's a great question. So right now we are just a sort of local model where we're only currently located in Baltimore City. It's a good question. Sometimes, we want to help also partner with there are other great solar training programs as well across the state. So
These programs would you say are in workforce development training programs are in because speaking to the assistant director, he said that they were in about 13 of the counties. So that's half of the counties in the state because you got 24. Mm-hmm. So in terms of this, your specific program, so how long have you been doing this with Civic Works with the state? Because y'all are one of their grantees, so how long have y'all been funded by the state to do what you're doing? Because it's definitely needed.
We've been offering solar training in partnership with the state for the past, I'd say, 4 years.
Okay, so you're a 4-year model out here, and you're only in Baltimore City. Now, I know a lot of people don't want to talk about what their total budget is, but what would you say was your total funding budget for your program when you initiated your primary grant? If it's costing you $10,000 per person, how many people have you actually been able to train?
That's a good question. We train about 30 people a year. I think we've, over the past four years or so, have trained about 100 people. So
we can do the math. That's what I'm saying. So we're talking about almost $1 million just to train about 300 folk. Now, that needs to be multi. And what I'm saying is, they talking about they got $8 million. That budget needs to be triple if it's costing that kind of money. And I know it costs that kind of money, but we need these type of resources to be put in workforce development training, because if we were to use your model and to integrate that model with Coppin, Morgan, UMES, Bowie State, the PG Community College, and I don't know what who's doing what where, but you need almost $50 million a year to sort of get this thing countywide, statewide, wouldn't you say?
I'd agree. And I'd say there's so much that we're not even touching on yet as a program. So we're focused on careers doing the solar construction, installation, and maintenance work. But there are also plenty of, you know, career positions in sales and engineering,
I read the listing from Indeed as I opened my show. I just gave people a sample of the jobs, not just on the private sector, but the public sector in terms of the federal government positions, on the county and state and federal level. That as this industry has exploded, also you have the need for more cybersecurity, IT people, as relates for hiring drone technology. I mean, all of these technologies tie into renewable energy in some form or fashion. So there are a whole litany of different what you would call niches for renewable energy technologies and workforce development training that ties right back into this industry, as you've indicated, that we haven't even touched upon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the other piece, too, is that, you know, from our perspective, you know, we're training people for installers, but we want them in 2 years to be crew leaders or project managers. So we're also offering
I wanted to ask you this question. Are you training any energy auditors?
We are. We train energy auditors as well. So what we do is we tell all of our graduates, we offer incumbent worker classes. People get additional certifications to qualify for advancement. So every graduate can come back to us for free and take another class to help qualify for a promotion at their company.
Well, sir, I want to thank you, because believe it or not, you know, 30 minutes has already shot by, but you've been a wealth of information. And how can people get more information about Civic Works, Mr. Allen? And how do they get in contact with you? Because I don't like to drag the interviews past the time that I've asked people to come on, because, you know, people have very, very busy schedules. But the holistic approach that Civic Work has employed with those young people that you are working with, it's a game changer and a life changer, and I will be one that will be definitely advocating for more funding for your organization and Foundation 52 with the powers to be, because to me it's a no-brainer. I mean, People talk about what is not happening, and I'm saying things are happening, but they're not happening on a large enough scale, because I have seen various pilot programs being funded in the district as well as in the state of Maryland, and these programs are excellent pilot programs, but they need to be put on steroids, and that should have been, that should have happened already.
Yeah.
Because this climate change.
I want to share, before I sign off, my contact information. So, love to get in touch with anyone interested in learning more, referring people. Again, my name is Eli Allen. Phone number is 410-929-6135.
Okay, let me get it.
410-929-6135.
Well, I always like to repeat those phone numbers to our listening audience, because, you know, they call me, I'm loud and got a big voice anyhow, so it doesn't matter as long as we're making sure our listening audience is getting the information. Sir, I want to thank you for taking time from your very, very busy schedule to come on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. I will be sending you a link to the show, so you'll be able to hear it. It will be up on our website. It'll be in our archives and in our gallery. So the information you have shared with our listening audience, I feel, is invaluable, especially if you live in the inner city of Baltimore and you're interested in getting into the renewable energy industry. Y'all have definitely provided a safety line. I'd just like to see your program get integrated with Coppin and Morgan over there in Bowie State, because we need to replicate these programs right on those college campuses, because they're right in the heart of those communities, especially during the summer months when those schools are shut down, those buildings are about being used for anything. It's got to happen. It only makes sense. All right. Well, is there anything you'd like to say in closing, sir?
No, just that I really, really enjoyed the conversation. I think this is an important part of the bigger change we hope to support. So I really enjoyed being part of the show. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you, Mr. Allen. It's been my pleasure. You have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Eli Allen, director for the Center for Sustainable Careers in Baltimore. Ladies and gentlemen, now that you've heard this man say what he said, as they said, you got it from the director, the person that's running the program. They got the boots on the ground. They're doing the training. It's costing about $10,000 per person. They trained about 300 people. We're talking about $1 million. That ain't enough money, folks. If they got 8 million that they saying for 220 and they haven't determined, they need to be spending that 3 times 4, because we need to get our people up to speed on this. And $8 million, it sounds like a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money, because we just heard why it's not a lot of money, when all of the different integral components to a human being's life and support systems that they got to have in order to get to that job and get that job done so they can get back and forth and take care of their needs to their family. This is what we need to be talking about, other than what did 45 do? Did he sneeze today? Did he tweet today? No. That ain't what's happening. This is real, folk. We're talking about this program is impacting young people's lives in Baltimore City. But they don't have enough money. I already know that. He didn't have to say it. I'm saying it. I already know. Because I understand what it costs to be the boss just to bring this platform to you, and nobody's willing to support it. Okay? So you can join us by dialing 646-668-2948. You can join us by dialing 646-668-2948 because if we don't get you to join in on this conversation, I'm going to cut it short because I had two other guests that were scheduled today, and one young lady, Mrs. Sherry Brooks, with a Power 52 Foundation. She's indicated that she would be joining us on the 26th rather than today because I wanted to back this thing up and explain to people this is why we do what we do with this platform. I don't know where you can get this information from any other source that I'm bringing to you because they're not out here letting people know what is programs that are out here that do exist. Everything is negative, ladies and gentlemen, but there's not enough positive change going on out here. And that's what we're bringing you through positive change with Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We're going to take another pause for the calls, y'all. And you can dial that number, 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the calling number because if I don't hear from y'all, I'm going to make the call, okay?
Here's a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end our show about 24 minutes early today because we normally do a 90-minute segment and we've run that and we are not getting any response from our calling audience because this is a blog talk. This is a podcast and people don't listen to podcasts the way that they listen to commercial radio. The podcast is something that can be marketed if you have a television show, if you have an online radio show with a broadcast network where people can hear that show on a consistent basis when it's going out over the airways to the hundreds of thousands of listeners to get the response that you need to generate the numbers. That's the game in this business. It's called a numbers game. So what we do, we're going to cut to the chase today. Nobody's going to be joining us. We want to thank those who did decide to join us. And remember, this show is always brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with creating market share for our African-American solar installation and design companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize these universities and these campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment and unemployment of our young African-American men and women locally and nationally, and to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on black America. It's brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. Is also brought to you by ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us here on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on black America. And until next week, we say go in peace.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it?